This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Brucham Abam, welcome everyone. So ready, preparing for the Seder. Tonight's Shir is sponsored by our dear friends, Mr. and Mrs. Donny Rosenthal, Leili Nishmas, grandfather, Moshe Yaakov ben Avram Yitzchak HaKoyen, Shama Shav Aliyah, V'yomel Tzioysher for the whole family, for Simcha Sanacha, Suras Tovos Gezint, V'yomali Hashem, Kol Mashal Zlibchem, L'Toyva. And Mirtz Hashem, we hope to have the new building soon that will be named after him. So should be Yizchus for him and the home Mishpacha. Okay, Pesach. This is the Shir. This is the big one. We're going to start with the very big beginning of the Masechta. Probably, if you want to know about Pesach, you probably have to open up Masechta Pesachim, see what it has to say about Pesach. Probably, I should announce the next Sefer. All right, we'll announce Shkoyach. If you insist, we hope, Bez Hashem, we thank everybody for helping out with the Purim Sefer. Pesach Sefer, we hope to be ready. Tavshin Pei. But we hope to have a kuntres available for this Pesach. So if anybody wants to be mishtatef, we will be able to hand you, hopefully, Bezos Hashem, next week, a new kuntres on Pesach. Shkoyach for that. Okay, I owe you for that. Fine. The Yom Tov of Pesach. Let's see what Masechta Pesachim has to say about Pesach. So the Masechta begins, Orli Arba Asar, Boit Gines HaChametz Oraner. By the light, literally the light of the 14th, we check for chametz by the candlelight. Now, what does it mean, the light of the 14th? What do you mean, Orla Arbasa? We know, everyone knows, you do bedikas chametz in the nighttime, but it doesn't say you do bedikas chametz in the night. It says Orla Arbasa. What does it mean, Or? So the Gemara in the beginning on Daf Beis Amud Aleph brings different opinions what Or means. The upshot is everybody agrees that Or means Laila. So when it says Orla Arbasa, boitkinas chametz, it means the night of the 14th. It doesn't mean the light of the 14th, it means the night of the 14th. So the Gemara asks, on Gimel Amud Beis, the number 2, so why didn't the Gemara just say the night? It should say, Leil Arba Asar, Boit Kines HaChametz. Why use the strange expression, or, that we have to interpret it means the night? It says Gemara, V'tana didan, my time aloi katani laili. Our Tana, why does it not say the night? So the Gemara gives an incredible answer. The Gemara says, it's not nice to say the night. The night, the word night is such a not nice word. It's so negative. So negative. So it implies that it's dark outside. There's no light. It's not a nice way to talk, the nighttime. It's like it's prust, it's grub, it's coarse. It's not refined to say the night. Lishna ma'alyu, it's much nicer to say the light, which implies the end of the day. To the Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, then Rabbi Shlomo ben Levi, La'olam al yotzei adam davar meguna mipiv. You should never say something disgusting. So now let's give a few examples of disgusting things. You ready for the first? The Torah says in last week's parsha, Sharei okam akos of shmoina oisiyos. The Torah went out of its way and deviated 8 letters. V'la'hoitzi davar meguna mipiv. Instead of saying something unseemly, like it says, min habehira hatahira. From the animals that are tahar, and from the animals that doesn't say hatameya. If it would have said tameya, it could have saved real estate. It could have saved 8 letters of space. It could have just said it straighter. Min habehema tahira, min habehema tameya. But it doesn't say tameya. It says min habehema tahira, min habehema asher einena tahira. Then the Gemara says further. The Gemara says further. Rav Papa Amar Teisha. Rav Papa says it saved 9 letters. Because the pasuk says like this, "Kiyia b'cha'ish, if there will be a man, asher lo yia tahar, who will be impure, mikre laila, from a happening of the night." He had an emission, but it doesn't say tame. It says loy tahar. So actually, the Torah wrote 9 extra letters to be able to write lo yia tahar instead of tameya. Ravina Amar, no, actually it spent an extra 10 letters because the word Tahar has a Vav in it as well. So actually the Torah went out of its way 10 letters. Now we know in the Torah it's all about real estate, real estate, real estate. Every letter is counted for, every letter is specific. So here the Torah is going out of its way 10 letters to be able to write not Tame Lo Yia Tahar. The Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar, no, furthermore, Sheish Esrei, 16 letters. Because it talks about a different gentleman. Ki amar mikre hu built itar hu ki loy tar. It talks about somebody who's not tar. It could have just said tameya. It says, no, built itar hu ki loy tar. So you know, you're learning Masechta Pesachim, and you expect, what's it going to talk about? Chametz, matzah, bedikas chametz, beer chametz, gebrakst, what's the other? Kidneyus. No, not one word relevant to Pesach. It's all about being careful not to say something which is only insignificantly unseemly. That's what the Masechta talks about for two blat. What in the world does that have to do with Pesach? And the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Tanya debei Rabbi Shmuel. La'olam yisaper adam b'lashon nekiyah. A person should always use a clean expression. Listen to this. It talks about a zav and a zava. A zav is a man who emits a certain emission. A zava is a woman who emits an emission. And it says whatever they ride on becomes tameh. So when it talks about a man, it calls what he rides on merkav. And when it talks about a woman, it says what she rides on is moishav, her seat. Why doesn't it say what she rides on? Says the Gemara, it's not proper to refer to a woman riding on an animal. You don't, not only do you not talk about a woman, you don't use the word riding when you talk about a woman. Because riding implies the woman spread her raglayim apart. So the word riding by a woman connotes that she separated her raglayim. And to say a word that has a connotation that refers to the raglayim of an isha is unseemly, is improper. So instead of saying merkav, we say moishav. I mean, can you imagine? You know, you're not supposed to say a word that has a connotation that refers to something that woman... And what did she do wrong already? She didn't do anything wrong. No, but that insinuates, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, Vativchar lashon arumim. Always choose a clever language. Fine. And the Gemara brings other psukim. That's Gemara Gimel Amid Aleph, but the Gemara's not done. Gimel Amid Beis, listen to this. Gimel Amid Beis, Hanu Trei Talmidei Davayasi Kamei Derav. There are two students sitting before Rav. Chad Omar Shavatinan Hai Shmaita Kedavar Acher Mesankan. One student said to Rav, Rav, the shir is making me so tired like a Davar Acher. What's a Davar Acher? A pig. This shir is so tiring, I feel like a pig. But he didn't say a pig. He said a davar acher. The Chad Omar once said, "Shavatina naishmaita kegedim misankan." This shear is so tiring, like a goat. You know, you see, I don't know how it is because I'm giving this shear, but probably to sit through a shear is very tiring. You know, you have to be kind to the maggid shear. You make believe that it's very interesting, it's very exciting, but it's not easy to do that for the whole shear, right? So the first man Amar said, "I feel like a davar acher. I feel like a chazer." The other man Amar said, "No, I feel like a kid, like a goat." Rav would no longer talk to the first Talmud. The first Talmud said a word that implies that the shear is tiring. He feels like a pig. Rav didn't talk to him anymore. The Gemara continues. Hanu Trei Talmidei Davayasi Kamei Dehillel. There are two Talmidim sitting before Hillel. One of them was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Some say they were sitting before Rebbe, and one of them was Rabbi Yochanan. One had a kasha, why do we harvest grapes b'tahara, and we don't harvest olives b'tahara? And the other student said, why do we harvest grapes b'tahara, and we harvest olives b'tuma? So Rav said about the first student, who went out of his way to use the word, not tamei, but inena tahara, Rav said one day he's going to be a gadol b'Yisrael. Why is he going to be a gadol? He didn't exhibit any chachma. He didn't exhibit goinus. He didn't exhibit techveis, hasmada. All he exhibited is sensitivity to say a word in a very refined way. But yet we see the refinement of one's words reflects the refinement of the neshama. And that is most symptomatic of whether somebody will be successful in learning. You see from here, learning has very little to do with intellectual capacity. It has very little to do with other ingredients that when it comes to other disciplines it would make you successful. Now, learning is dependent on spiritual ingredients. And one of those spiritual ingredients is if you're careful to be sensitive in the way you speak. You're going to try it? Yeah. Luckily, you're ready. Okay, fine. So... The Gemara says further. How you doing, Reb Sander? Good? Okay, good. Fine. The Gemara says further. There were three Kohanim. One Kohen said, I took the Lechem Apanim and I got a bean's worth. One Kohen said, I took the Lechem Apanim and I got an olive's worth. One Kohen said, I took the Lechem Apanim and I got the size of the tail of a lizard. They checked into his lineage and it turned out he was illegitimate. How did they know? Just because he used an improper type of speech, yeah. From here we see that to get a glimpse into the quality of a person's neshama, you listen to the way somebody talks. If they speak in a refined way, then they're giving you a glimpse into their essence. If they speak in an unrefined way, you also learn about who they are. So here's the million-dollar question for tonight. I'm very happy to introduce to you a following principle. I was so excited to learn this principle. Something I heard a number of times, but I don't think I knew exactly where it is. This is a yisoid that is introduced by Reb Tzadok HaKoyen of Lublin, who says he has a tradition from his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, an amazing yisoid. And that is that sometimes you learn an Agada to Gemara on a random Masechta, and it seems like, why is this Agada to Gemara and this Masechta? What does this have to do with Masechta Sukkah? We're learning Sukkah, and there's a random Agada to Gemara about the Yetzirah. What does the Yetzirah have to do with Sukkah? So you think it's just there, you know, coincidentally, Agavurcha, they had no better place to put it. Reb Tzadok HaKoyen teaches us an incredible yesoid, that when you see an agarata and a masechta, that agarata is there specifically and reveals to you the essence of the masechta. It's in that masechta because it's fundamentally connected to that inyan. I'll give you a few examples. What masechta talks about the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Gittin. So you say, I don't know, why is it in Gittin? Because it's telling you, first of all, that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was, in some sense, a breakup with Hashem. When God destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, we severed our ties with God. It's not incidentally in Masechta Gittin. It's in Gittin to teach Churban Beis HaMikdash was like a get with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or vice versa. It's to teach that a get is like a Churban. Continues. What Masechta talks about living in Eretz Yisrael, the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, the majesty of Eretz Yisrael? Ksubis. Why? Because if a breakup with God is the Churban, then the union with God is being in Eretz Yisrael. So even though at first glance, superficially, you think an Agada to Gemara is random, it's specifically there because if it wouldn't be there, you'd be lacking an understanding of the true meaning of the Agadata. So I'll give you another example. This Reb Tzadok HaKoyen himself gives. Which Masechta talks about the giving of the Torah? Daf Pei Ches. Shabbos. Very good, Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos. Which Perek? Says Reb Tzadok, it's not only connected to the Gemara, it's connected to the Perek that it's in. It's in Perek Rabbi Akiva. You know why it's in Shabbos? Because of Hakol Moedim, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. I would add, there's a famous Zayar, that a Talmid HaChamim Arba Bechinas Shabbos. So the giving of the Torah created a level of Shabbos. Plus, it's in the parak of Rabbi Akiva, says Reb Tzadok HaKoyen, because Rabbi Akiva is the source of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So therefore, in this context, let's raise the following amazing question. I must say so. If the Masechta that Nagada to Gemara is in reveals to you what the essence of the Masechta is and what the meaning of the Agadata is, and here it is Masechta Psachim, and the very first two bladim sachim talks not about matzah, not about maror, not about dalek kaisais, not about chametz, about don't say tamay. Say don't it's not tahar. Don't say a woman is sitting on an animal, is riding, she's sitting. Don't say the word a lizard tail. You know, there was once a big debate in Tarvadas about a certain expression that people say, about the word S-H-U-T-U-P, whether you're allowed to say it or it's like a curse word. So they were sort of embarrassed to ask for Pam, and one Talmud mustered up the courage. Rebbe, you know, there's a certain expression, it's not really a curse word, but it's not really that refined. Are you allowed to... So Pam said, you mean fress? And they sort of got the picture, you know, in Rav Pam's vernacular, the word fress already is... He said, you can't say that word. It's already grub. It's already prust. It's not nice. You don't refer to eating that way. That's for a dover acher to say, not a human being. Human being doesn't talk that way. Why would the first two blad of Masechta Psachim talk about refined speech? What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Let's continue. The Haggadah.
Seriously, the Haggadah uses the word Lila several times. It's
look, the in the two blad in Masechta Psachim, it goes through that certain times, if it has to convey a precise halachic terminology, you're allowed to say certain words. So, But in the Mishnah, at least the Mishnah, now just to add to our question, it's not only the first two Bladim Sachim. The first word of the Masechta is a wrong word. Ar larba asar. Why? It means the night. Why would the first word in the Masechta be written to teach me this lesson? Okay, let's move on. In the Haggadah, the Baal Haggadah, who we've said in the past, who wrote the Haggadah Shel Pesach? Eliyahu HaNavi. He brings in a pasuk in Parshas Kisavai to describe how bad the stay in Mitzrayim was. The pasuk says, "Vayareo isanu haMitzrim." The Mitzrim did bad to us. Vayanunu, they afflicted us. Vayinu aleinu avoda kasha. Why does the Baal Haggadah quote a pasuk in Kisavai to describe the bondage of Mitzrayim? Bring a pasuk at the spot. Bring a pasuk in Shemois, Va'era, the pasukim as they occurred. Why quote a pasuk that refers later in the Torah to what happened before? Okay, Marv Rabbi, so let's cut right to the chase since all of you are already politely holding in what the answer is. Everybody knows already. Let's start with the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh reveals to us a tremendous concept. It's a philosophical concept because we don't know exactly what this means. But the Zohar says, Raza ihu Moshe kala, Moshe was the voice, v'dibur diyu amila dilei hu begalusa. And Moshe's voice and the voice of the Jewish people was in galus. The Zohar reveals to us that what does it mean we were in bondage in Mitzrayim? What does that mean we were subjugated in Mitzrayim? Yes, we worked, we were enslaved, we built pyramids, we were tortured. But conceptually, what was in bondage in Mitzrayim? Be'ikr, what was in bondage was the Kayach HaDibor, the ability to speak and speak properly, speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, use our words for the proper way. The Zohar says, Hu Bigalusa, the power of speech was in Galus. That's why we find, look at number 8, Moshe Rabbeinu, who symbolized all of Klal Yisrael, so we know the leader of the Jewish people, symbolizes the level of the Jewish people. What do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? He says, Lo Yish Tevarim Anoichi, I'm not a man of words. Gam Etmol, not yesterday, Gam Mishulsham, Ki Kfad Peh, Kfad Loshon Anoichi. I'm hard of speech, and I'm heavy-tongued. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak clearly, he stammered, he stuttered, he did not speak well. The Moshe Rabbeinu, symbolizing all of Klal Yisrael, could not speak, symbolizing the fact that the Koyach HaDibur of Klal Yisrael was being subjugated and enslaved in Mitzrayim. And the Zohar goes on to say, Moshe could not get a word out of his mouth, he could not communicate. Hashem had a... Moshe Rabbeinu stood there, and here the leader of the Jewish people could not communicate now with Klal Yisrael, cannot communicate with Paroi. He was a stammerer, a stutterer, a heavy speak, couldn't speak. You know, you wonder, to be a leader for Klal Yisrael, what's the most important quality? Okay, you have whatever all the midos are, but number one is, you got to speak clearly. If you can't speak, nobody knows what you're talking about. You have to communicate. And Moshe Rabbeinu literally cannot speak. That's why Aaron had to say every single word for him. And the Zohar says, not until we exited Egypt and our speech was liberated, and this was especially occurred at Kabbalah HaTorah, From then on, Moshe spoke Barur Milelu, he spoke crystal clear. So conceptually, when we were in Egypt, it wasn't just physical labor, it wasn't just manual labor, it was the power of speech was shackled, and with Yetzias Mitzrayim, the speech was liberated. Marv Raboisai, I have a Haggadah at home called Haggadah Shel Pesach, we'll talk about that soon. He brings in his Akdama. Who subjugated Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael? A man by the name of Paroi. Oisiois, Pa-ra. He's the bad-mouthed one. Because he's subjugating Moshe, making Klal Yisrael Moshe kvad peh, kvad loshein. Interestingly, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not going to go to Klal Yisrael. They're not going to believe me. So Hashem gave him two signs. What were the two signs of Moshe Rabbeinu? The first sign is, Moshe took the stick and it turned into what? Nachash. Who's the Nachash? The first Baal Lashon Hara, the Deloitar. He told Adam and Chava, God ate from the tree and created the world. So the first symbol to Moshe Rabbeinu is, you know why you guys are here? Improper use of the speech, the Nachash. Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, what else you got for me? Hashem says, give me your hand, Parshas Tazria, stick it in your shirt. Moshe pulls it out. What happened to his hand? Saras. Also indicating that the reason they're in Mitzrayim is improper use of speech. We know Tzaras Mitzrayra is Zetia Toiras Moitzi Shemra. The two simonim that Hashem conveyed to Moshe Rabbeinu is, realize what the reason for the Shibud is. It's the Nachash, it's Tzaras, it's the improper use of the Koyach HaDibor. Paroi, Pera, says to Pharaoh Shloimeh of Radomsk. Ready for this? The pasuk says, look at number 13. V'yomer paroi levnei Yisrael. Paroi said about the Bnei Yisrael, nevuchim heim ba'aretz. They are lost in the land. Sagar aleihem hamidbar. Closed in the desert. It says, Tfer Shlaimai, the word hamidbar could also be read hamidaber. Sagar aleihem, you know what was locked up? Hamidaber, their ability to speak. Their koyach hadibor was locked up and sealed shut. Ah, now it comes out. Oyem v'noira, where was Klal Yisrael freed from Mitzrayim? Daber, al b'nei Yisrael v'yashuv v'yachanu l'fnei pi? Pi achirois. Where are they freed? By the mouth of freedom. The mouth of freedom. We just think it's, you know, it's coincidental that the place that they were freed from is called Pi HaChiris. No, they were subjugated by Pera. They were in Mitzrayim, Nevuchim Ba'aret, Sagar Aleihem, Hamadaber. But where are they freed? They're freed from, Rabbi said, they're freed from Pi HaChiris. By the way, Tfer Shloimai says, Sagar Aleihem HaMidbar, Koyach Hamadaber. Number 11, Chassam Sofer says the same thing. Chassam Sofer says, Sagar Aleihem HaMidbar, they're Sagar Aleihem HaMidaber. Sagar Aleihem HaMidaber. In fact, Rav Tzadok HaKohen says something very interesting. He reads the pasuk v'yashuvu, go back, v'yachanu, and think, lefnei piachirois, before you liberate your mouth. Go back and think before you talk. What day was this of Yetzias Mitzrayim? This was the third day. So he says something very interesting. We say in the Haggadah, kol hamarbe l'saper b'yetzias Mitzrayim hareza meshubach. Kol hamarbe, anyone who speaks a lot. What's the call coming to include? That normally we say, don't talk a lot. You know, you get in trouble when you talk a lot. Nothing good. Most people never regretted not saying something. Sometimes, more often than not, you regret saying something than not saying something. But kol hamarbe l'saper says that on Pesach, because our speech was liberated, you could talk and you could talk and you could talk and you could talk. But come, that's the first day of Pesach. The first day you're protected by the Koyach of Yom Tov. The second day, you're also protected. It's also Yom Tov. And even in Mitzrayim, it was Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios. And even though they didn't have Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios yet, but it is Chutz La'aretz, and they're already being empowered by the future Kedusha of Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios. But on the third day, when there's no more Kedusha, they had to curtail their speech already. So therefore, on the third day, v'yashuvu, they had to go back, v'yachanu, and think, lefnei piachirois, before they liberated their mouth. That's how Rav Tzadok HaKohen reads it. But be it as it may, Marv Rabbeisa, we see that the Koyach HaDibor is the central focus of the Shibud Mitzrayim and the redemption of Mitzrayim. It's subjugated by Pera. Moshe's kfad peh, kfad lashoin. They're freed at piachirois. They're sagar aleihem hamadaber. And therefore, one of the four things that Chazal tell us were the reasons that Bnei Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt. The Medrash says, "Bishvil Dalet Varam." Look at number 15. Nigalu Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. One of them was V'loy Amru Lashon Hara, because they didn't speak Lashon Hara. In other words, in order to get out of Mitzrayim, they had to have this chus of not speaking Lashon Hara. So it comes out amazing. The Gemara says M'sachim. What is the fate of someone who speaks Lashon Hara? Like, what should we do with the Baal Lashon Hara? The Gemara says on Daf Kuf Yurches, Am Rav Sheshes Mishum Relez Ben Azarya, Kol HaMesaper Lashon Hara, Roy LaHashlichai LeKlavim. A Baal Lashon Hara, who do you throw him to? The dogs. The dogs just love a Baal Lashon Hara. By the way, the Chofetz Chaim brings down that someone who speaks Lashon Hara, his next Gilgal will be a dog. He'll turn into a dog. So to avoid becoming a dog, it's a good idea not to speak Lashon Hara. But the Gemara says, someone who speaks Lashon Hara, Roy LaHashlichai LeKlavim. The dogs get very excited about the Baal Lashon Hara. And yet the night we left Mitzrayim, the one thing we know was LaYechratz Kelev L'Shoyne, El Chabanei Yisrael LaYechratz Kelev L'Shoyne. Why? Because apparently it was clear that Klal Yisrael overcame the temptation and the challenge of speaking Lashon Hara. This was the only way out. Because since the Koyach HaDibor was subjugated by the Pera, Sagar Aleihem HaMedaber, therefore in order to get out, they needed to correct Lashon Hara, and even the dogs didn't bark when they came out. So Marv Rabbeisai, in the beginning of their stay in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu encounters Dasan and Aviram. And Dasan and Aviram said, "Hey Moshe, who do you think you are? You are a leader, Sar v'shoifet aleinu. Maybe you're going to kill us with words like you killed the Mitzri. Vayira Moshe. Moshe was afraid, says Rashi. What was Moshe afraid about? Says Rashi, Moshe was afraid. Oh, how do you know I killed Dasam Aviram? Must be somebody tattled on me. There must be Bali Lashon Hara in Klal Yisrael. There must be Delo Torin in Klal Yisrael. There's no way we'll ever be redeemed. So Pella, this is why we'll never be redeemed. The Chazal say that Klal Yisrael were worshipping Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim. And Moshe didn't say, well, if you're worshipping Avodah Zarah, we'll never be redeemed. All of a sudden he discovers that they're Bali Lashon Hara and now they're not going to be redeemed. The Rashi continues, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Achei noida hadavar. Now the matter is known. The famous Rashi says that Moshe said to himself, you know, my whole life, I never understood. The Chinese, they're sitting there in China, they're eating rice with chopsticks, nobody's bothering them. Japanese, nobody's bothering. North Koreans, nobody's bothering. America, the Eskimos are sitting back and enjoying life. Why are Klal Yisrael suffering more than any nation? Oh, but now I see there are guys like Dasan Ba'avirim, Hobali Lashon Hara. Now I understand why we're suffering. I don't understand. Klal Yisrael were Oivdei Avodah Zarah. Why didn't that explain to Moshe Rabbeinu why we were suffering? So the Aruch Lener wrote a sefer on Chumash called Minchas Ani. And the Aruch Lener says, you know, if you want to get out of a mess, you need to uproot it from its very beginning. He says something wild. He says something incredible. He says, why were Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim in the first place? Yeah, that's what I would have said, but he doesn't say that.
No?
Because of Lashon Hara. Who's Lashon Hara? The Mitzrim's Lashon Hara. The Mitzrim's Lashon Hara, that's right. The Mitzrim spoke Lashon Hara about us. When did the Mitzrim speak Lashon Hara about us? They said, Hava Neschak Malay, let's deal wisely with the Yidden. Why? Because we're afraid. May pen yerbeth, they'll increase. Bahaya kisikran mechama, there'll be a war. And they'll join our enemy, and they'll rebel against us. You know, that's like what the Arabs do. It's a buba maiso. They made up a story that there's going to be a fight, and the Jews are going to join up with the enemy. They basically spoke moitzi shemra on Klal Yisrael, and that's what got us into the mess. Says the Aruch Lener, that's why in the Haggadah starts off like this. Vayareyo Aisanu HaMitzrim. The Mitzrim did bad to us. They got us into a jam. How did they get us into a jam? So the Baal HaGadah explains. Because they said, Hava Neschak Malai. They spoke Lashon Hara about us. And if you're in trouble because someone spoke Lashon Hara about you, the only way you could get out of that is if you're super Zahir in Lashon Hara yourself. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, you know, I never understood why we're suffering so much. But now that I see that we got into the mess because people spoke Lashon Hara about us, and yet there's still chevra like Dasan Ba'avirim that are speaking Lashon Hara. There's no way out. There's no way to get out of the mess. So I would have said what you gentlemen said, that we got into the mess because of the Lashon Hara of Yosef HaTzadik, right? Vayaveh Yosef Esdiba Samra Al-Aviyam. And because that's what brought us into Mitzrayim, there's no way out unless we correct the Avera of Lashon Hara. But be it as it may, let's set the scene. How did we come down to Mitzrayim? Yosef spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers. How were we subjugated? The Mitzrim spoke Lashon Hara about us. Who subjugated us? Paroi, Pera. What did he do to us? Sagar Aleim Hamidbar Koyach Hamidaber. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon. So finally we overcome Lashon Hara, and Shalai Dibru Lashon Hara, and we come out, and the dogs don't even say anything to us. And therefore, says the Sfas Emes, we become Dar Ha Midbar, Dar Hamidaber. We become the generation that now has liberated their function of speech. Okay, so now I know you're all itching to say, but I appreciate that you've held it in until now, despite the fact that I was very tempted not to put these words on the title page of the shir, not to give it away, but I trusted you. Comes Rav Chaim Vital, he brings from the Arizal that the word Pesach is a compound word. It means Pesach, the mouth that speaks, because that's what occurred on Pesach. Our power of speech was liberated, was freed. We're now able to speak. That's why on Pesach, we don't go sit in a sukkah. What do? We talk and we talk and we talk and we eat and we talk and we talk and we eat. We just use our mouth. We eat matzah, we drink dalet koisoi, sipur yitzias mitzrayim, v'chal hamar belasapra. The rest of the year we say zip it. Keep your mouth closed. Pesach is called hamar belasapra, areze meshubah. The Medrash Talpiyos, Rabbi Yoah Kohen of Izmir, also Pesach Upeh Sach Sharata Hoisa Begolos. The Kohen Gadol was exiled. V'Hoisa Yecholah Ledaber, wasn't able to talk. Aval Ata. Now our freedom of speech was that. That's real freedom of speech. Which amendment is that? Nobody knows. No law. First Amendment. The First Amendment. Okay, one loyal American here. Okay, good. The First Amendment. Freedom of speech. Liberation of speech. Very good.
What does the Moshe
of Zakenim say? Now, the Moshe of Zakenim doesn't refer to an old age home. It's one of the Balei HaToisus. Very good. I found in the Moshe of Zakenim that he already brings down that Pesach is Milashon Pesach, the mouth that speech that speaks. Because really we went down to Mitzrayim because of the words of Avraham Avinu who said, Bamoida ki Iroshena. And he also brings down a pshat, Pesach, that the Malachim in the Merkava said to God, Ribbono Shel Olam, it's time to redeem them already. Okay, so here we have many unusual phenomenon that point in this direction, that the subjugation of Mitzrayim was the subjugation of Kach HaDibor, and the liberation was the freedom of speech as well. Comes the Heilige Sfas Emes, and the Sfas Emes says, you know, we actually have five types of letters, right? There are five faculties of being able to speak. Any speech therapists here? Speech pathologists? Your wife. Okay, that's also pretty good. Okay, we know there's sounds that come from the tongue. There are letters that cannot be said without a tongue. There are sounds that come from the palate. Right, the top of the mouth. There's sounds that come from the throat. There's sounds that come from the teeth, and there's sounds that come from the lips. So says the Sfas Emes, the teeth, achilas matzah. The other four faculties are the dalet koisais. Each one of the mitzvahs halayla is to be mekadesh, one of the faculties of speech, and we'll end off with the cracker of the Sfas Emes. He says something oyem benayra. Okay, marv raboisai. Here we go. So we have the simanim of the night of the Seder, and we know they have a deeper meaning as well. They're not just, you know, order of operations, but they're a message, they're hashkafa, they're musar. So we say kadesh, if you want to sanctify yourself, orchatz, and cleanse yourself, karpas, klal, rishon, pesagor. The first rule is, keep the mouth closed. That's how you makadesh yourself, that's how you wash yourself. So in honor of Vizhnitz, I have a Vizhnitz of Mara Makom tonight. The Vizhnitz says like this. Kadesh, you want to sanctify yourself. Orchatz, you want to cleanse yourself. Karpas. Klal Rishon, Pesagor. But the guy says, but I need to talk. I can't hold it in. I have to let it out. Fine. Yachatz Magid. Then just say half of what you want to say. You got to talk? Yachatz Magid. Cut it in half. Keep it short. Keep it brief. However, if a person says, I can't contain myself. Pesach! I gotta talk, I gotta open my mouth. Pesach! Matzah umara. You're gonna have a matzah, you're gonna have fighting, you're gonna have quarreling, you're gonna have strife, mara, you're gonna have bitterness. So that's one of the remazim and the simanim of kadesh, orchatz, karpas, yachatz, magid, rachza. Comes the Heilige Basayin. And the Basayin says something very interesting. Basayin is Rabbi Avram Avarish of Tzfas, who was one of the great Mekubalim in the beginning of the 20th century. He's buried right near the Levushe Srod. If you want to see his kever, TorahAnytime.com. There's a nice clip by his kever. If you want to see his shul, also TorahAnytime.com. We have a nice clip from his shul. Actually, I said over a vart on Parshas Shemais, very similar to this vart we have over here. So we know on Shabbos, you have to minimize your speech. Actually, the Yerushalmi says a frightening thing. Bekoishi hitiru loymar shalom b'Shabbos. With great difficulty, Chazal allowed a person to say v'smach there on Shabbos. Shabbos really is so holy, you shouldn't say a word. You shouldn't talk. Bekoishi hitiru loymar. Certainly, divrei chol, you can't talk about on Shabbos. You have to be very careful. That concept of being careful not to talk on Shabbos, mundane words, is called Pesach. Being careful what your mouth speaks. But there is even higher madrega than being careful what your mouth speaks. And this is a very high madrega. Halavai, we should reach the first madrega. The higher madrega is Shabbos HaGadol. Shabbos HaGadol is not only to be now, Says Abbasai, you know where I heard this from? I heard it from my father, who heard it from Rav Lieber. I told you I'm getting you in, right? I heard it from my father, who heard it from Rav Lieber. Show your father. It says over here, number 32, Kasher Shamati Me'avi Sh'amar B'Shem Rav Lieber. That's what it says. So there's the concept of Pesach, being careful not to speak about Divrei Chayil on Shabbos. And then there's something called Shabbos HaGadol. Now Shabbos HaGadol is Machshava. Be careful not even to think mundane thoughts on Shabbos. The deeper concept of what Chazal say, that if Klal Yisrael would keep two Shabbosos in a row, we would be redeemed. You know what the two Shabbosos are? Not to speak improperly on Shabbos and not to think improperly on Shabbos. That's the pshat of the Ba'as Ayin. Okay, Mav Raboisai, Hashem gave me a Matana Toiva. So let's sum up what we learned tonight. We learned that on Pesach, we're celebrating the liberation of speech, the Koyach HaDibor. We do that with the mitzvah of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. We do that with Achilas Matzah, Achilas Marar, Shtias Dalet Koisois. We were liberated at Pi Achirois. We extricated ourselves from the Sagar Aleim Hamadaber. We got out of the Pera. How do we describe the greatness of the power of speech of Klal Yisrael? HaKoyel, Koyel, Yaakov. That's the pasuk that praises the voice of Klal Yisrael. And what day of the year was that utterance, was that enunciated? What day of the year did Yitzchak Avinu announce to the world, HaKoyel, Kol Yaakov? We know it was Pesach, right? Because Rashi says that why did Yitzchak need to eat two goats? Rashi says, Echel Pesach. So on the day of Pesach, the Torah is enunciating, what is the greatness of this day? What is the greatness of the Yom Tov of the Pesach? The greatness is, HaKoyel, Kol Yaakov. Comes the Sasemes, and he says, this explains a impossible pasuk. We say it every day. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. Hamalcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Harchev picha v'amaleihu, open up your mouth. Ah, like, well, the Rosh Hashanah, I took you out of Mitzrayim and now I'm giving you a throat culture. Hamalcha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Harchev picha v'amaleihu. What in the world does one thing have to do with the other? I took you out of Egypt, open your mouth wide. Mashmita etzal har Sinai. Says the Sfas Emes, the Pshat is, since Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and He liberated our freedom of speech, now we could open up our mouth wide to praise Hashem, to daven to Hashem, to be Meshabeach Hashem. We could use our faculty of speech properly. If I could just add one idea, many, many years ago, or for those who listen, we once spoke about how Yetzias Mitzrayim was really the birth of a child, that Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim was like an embryo, and the birth, the Yetzias Mitzrayim, was the birth of a child. So we could just say, we know that when a child is in utero, one of the things the Gemara says in Masechta Nida about a child in utero is pesasim, the mouth is sealed shut. And the Gemara says, as soon as the baby is born, a niftach hasasim, all the orifices open up. So again, this is another meaning. Since in Mitzrayim we were like an embryo, and Yetzias Mitzrayim was the birth of a child, this also imbued in us the koyach hadibor. Therefore, we're mespal, Ribbono Shel Olam, should give us an elevated sense of Koyach HaDibur. And now we're coming back to where we started. We go to Masechta Pesachim. And Masechta Pesachim, we have two blot about Nekiyas HaDibur, refinement of Dibur. And we ask, what does this have to do with Masechta Pesachim? What does this have to do with Chametz, with Matzah, with Pesach? Why would the first word in the Masechta be there to teach La'olam Yidaber Adam B'Lashon Nekiyah? The answer is, this is the Yisoid of the Yom Tov. This is the Yisoid of the celebration. The Yisoid of Pesach is elevating the Koyach HaDibur, and therefore the Masechta begins with the great limud, a two blot worth of how careful and refined the person should speak. So Bezos Hashem, we hope to elevate our Koyach HaDibur through the mitzvah halayla. We should taka bizoicha that this Pesach should be mekayim. Anoichi Hashem leikecha amalcha metzutzayim harchev picha v'amaleo. Shkoyach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.